It is a great privilege for me to introduce Muhammad Ali, one of the greatest sportsmen, men known around the globe, also poet and a painter. But there is another dimension which Ali will explain. But Ali, before I give you the floor, may I give a chance to President of Correspondent Association to greet you.
I don't want to waste any time. Let me just say, Salaam Alaikum and welcome to our midst.
Mr. Ali, I'll be very, very brief. If there's one man in the world that needs no introduction, if there's one man in the world that needs no identification card to get anywhere, you surely must be that man. But in view of the fact that you're going to be very closely associated with the United Nations in the future, and I know that you have been in the past, it gives me great pleasure to give you a United Nations identification card which will get you into any United Nations installation worldwide. It is my pleasure.
That's it. He's trying to take my car.
Yeah.
He'll give you my car. I hold my own car. Hold my car. Okay, no, it's the best car I got. I imagine some of you will have a few questions or two. I don't have too much to say.
Would you like maybe to say something about your meeting?
Yeah.
Mr. Ali, you are going to referee a match in Uganda. General Amin is going to be one of the contestants. How do you reconcile your role there with your role here, where you're trying to support peace, the Children's International Year, in the light of what's been happening in Uganda?
I haven't accepted that offer to referee. I haven't accepted the offer to referee the match between Idi Amin and Antonio Inoki. You're speaking of the Japanese wrestler who I've boxed about a year or two ago in Tokyo. He was, for some reason, Idi Amin has a little talent in wrestling, and he challenged somebody to set the match up, and they want me to referee. I've made no public statements on it. I've only heard, I know about as much as you do about this offer, but I'm talking to people here at the United Nations, and I want to know how and what they think about it. I was offered to go to South Africa to do various things, and people protested, and I've been offered a lot of issues, things I could do that was controversial. And I have permission now from UN advisors and people here that anything that I do in a country like South Africa or in Idi Amin's, I can come to them for their expertise advice. So I'll make no moves until the United Nations is behind it and the people in the United Nations are, I'm not going nowhere. So this offer to referee a match between Idi Amin and Antonio Inoki, and although they offer me $1 million, then I will not take it if it's not in agreement with the United Nations and the people here. So that's my answer on that.
Mr. Lee, a UN committee is working on the international convention to ban racism in sport. In the past few weeks, since the Montreal Olympics, this great issue of sport and politics have been at the forefront. Do you have any comment on this issue, sports and politics?
Politics and sports.
And I mean,
there are some people who say that politics,
politics should not be brought into sports, and that others who say that you cannot divorce sporting activities from politics.
Well, I think one example of what you're talking about, there was a South African boxer who was in Miami looking for fighting because of South Africa's policies, and I understand various people said that he shouldn't be allowed to box in this country. then I would not take part. I would not get involved in those issues. I would not give you an answer on that because they have a saying, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And politics is in the eye of the beholder. And whatever reason, somebody might not want somebody to do something, they know more about why it shouldn't be done. So I can't say if they're right or wrong because it's not my problem, not my politics. So I wouldn't say nothing because if I say I'm Democrat, then the Republicans don't like me. If I say I'm Democrat, then the Republican. So I'd rather not see man named Catholic. Buddhism, Hinduism, Methodist, Protestant, Jehovah's Witness, man named it. God never gave religion these names. So names prejudice people. It's the names that keep people warring and politicking and people are people, humans are humans. There's not one humanity. One blood is one color. All hearts the same color. Man gave it titles. So I don't get wrapped up in titles. And when you say politics and sports, you're talking about titles and certain type of politics, and I just don't get involved because I love all people, and all people are God's people, and all people are my fans. So I have white South African fans, strange to say. So I don't want to take sides with nobody, so I won't say. I'll let you all in the United Nations and you politicians fight those battles. I'll just stay quiet because I'm on everybody's side.
Ask it about Muslims.
Would you be prepared to go to Paris and use your influence with Ayatollah Khomeini to bring about some peaceful relationship between the peoples of the troubled land in Iran?
I would be honored to do something of that kind. Ben, you must realize a black man from America, not that educated, became a great boxer, and now talking here at the United Nations and about world sources, and you asking me a question like that is a great honor. So I never thought this would happen to me. I would be in the United Nations, and people of your kind and your right, whatever you represent, asking me these serious questions. So I would do it only if I could talk with somebody whose authority on those two countries. And would it hurt anybody if I go, would any side use me for something that's not right? And is the general Islamic world behind it or the United Nations period? So I wouldn't answer that question until I find the proper advisors to tell me to go or not go.
Mr. Ali, recently you were at the funeral of President Boumediene in Algeria. Do you have any information as who would be the next president?
I did not know he was the president. Until I was told that he died, I did not know he died. Until I got a call from Andy Young, representing president, to represent America, which is a great honor. So I know nothing about Algeria, and I never knew him, and I'm sure I don't know who the next one will be.
Ali, you have also questions from this side.
Mr. Ali, there's grave concern for the life of former Pakistani Prime Minister Zulfikar Ali Bhutto in the Islamic world and in the United Nations. His case, the appeal on his case is still pending in the Pakistani courts, but do you feel there's any way that his life can be saved? Do you have any comments on the case?
He's
Prime Minister Bhutto, who is in jail now.
You all have to have pity on me. You all have to know that this is really something. You ask me questions that you would ask the President of America. You ask me questions that you talk to a scholar on those nations. And I'm so honored if you think I'm that wise, but I'm not. I never heard of the man you're talking about. Until I heard he's the man was in Algeria, something to do with Iran.
Former Pakistani Prime Minister.
From where?
Pakistan.
Oh, I thought there's a man in Iran in trouble too. some religious leader. Ain't there a religious leader in Iran? They're in a debate or something? I thought you were talking about him. What you're telling me now is the first time I've ever heard of what you're saying. I'd never heard the name of the man. and I don't know nothing about the problem. I'm it's Greek. Everything you're saying, I know nothing about it. And I will tell you something. I'll bet my life, as worldly as I am, and I never heard, and there's no American hardly in the black or white or whoever walking the streets that will know who you're talking about if you mention the man's name. They don't know him. You know him because you're wrapped up and you're in politics. But the ordinary person don't know the name you just mentioned because I don't know. So I couldn't answer that question. It's a little too heavy for me.
Why don't you talk about the paintings for peace?
Fighting.
Am I through with fighting? Well, I don't want to say right here I'm through with fighting because then that would mean I'm retired and the boxing authorities will take my title and vacate it before I retire. I am champion as of this moment and I'm determined to retire champion. Of all the great boxers, majority champions are black. None retired on top. They all retired losers. And it's very important to my people in the world of my kind and all my fans, whoever they are, that I retire champion. And not only that, but retire three-time champion. And the business-wise, commercial-wise, endorsement, movies, traveling, things that I'm doing, my artwork on painting for peace here, to lose a decision or to even fight another fight and look bad would destroy me. So business-wise, the worst thing I can do, it'll be a sin. The worst thing Muhammad Ali could do is to go back in the ring. That's the worst thing I could do. And at the age of 37, which for sports is pretty old, the ordinary heavyweight, ever since boxing began some 100 years ago, the retiring age for heavyweight was 33 years old. I'm 37, and I'm lucky and thankful to Allah that I went out on top, defeated all my critics, all men. So for the Islamic world, for the UN, for all that I'm talking about, for peace, for all I want to do, my image is so great. The worst thing I can do is blemish it. If they offer me $50 million tomorrow, I will turn it down. Because the heart's involved. See, people have heart attacks in the Muslim countries and African countries. They love me so much, even if I get hurt or if I should want to lose, they'll feel bad. Some countries, they have Malaysia, Philippines, they actually have holidays. People in Algeria here, too. People don't go to work on days that I fight to watch television. They take it so serious. It's a spiritual thing. So for me to lose, to take a chance on looking bad, just to get some personal money and trade that for the hearts and the pulse and the souls of all the people who follow me, that would be the worst thing I can do. So I'm telling you now, I don't never plan to get the ring in, but I'm still the champion as of now until I announce my retirement, which should take place soon on national network television. We'll have something called The Last 15 Rounds. We'll show 15 rounds of my best fights, then I'll retire. And we'll let the other fighters go, and I'll go and be champion forever. I want to say another thing. I'm an artist. You all didn't know that I paint. My father's a sign painter. He's a commercial artist. And I draw pictures with meanings and to tell stories. And I'm painting now for peace. And tonight, where are we going to be tonight?
At the Roseland.
Or invite everybody at 9 o'clock. At the Roseland. Where's the Roseland located?
On West 52nd Street.
On West 52nd Street.
It's going to be the largest opening art exhibition.
This will be the largest opening art exhibition for any artist. It will be the greatest of all time.
We have more questions on this side.
As you know, that one of the goals of sports is to promote peace and friendship among nations of the world. And I don't mean to drag you again into politics. As both a Muslim and a peace lover, what is it in your opinion that has been making peace in the Middle East so impossible or almost impossible to come by?
What's making peace so? Well, see, there are laws and realities that Allah, God, laid down for man to follow. There are laws and realities. And these laws must be obeyed. There's a law called the law of gravity. You have to fear and respect gravity. What goes up comes down. There's a law that says if a meteorite should get out of orbit, it burns up. You see a flash across the sky. These laws are as fundamental for us to obey as they are the rest of the universe. Man is the only thing in nature that don't obey God's laws. So you suffer. If we were riding on a metro liner from here to Washington, D.C., and we were asleep, and we got up and we started walking like some people walk in their sleep, and we walked over to the door, and we pushed the button, the door open, and we stepped off the train while it was running at 90 miles an hour. Now, you're under delusion. You may think you're at home, but that will not help you when you step out of the train. Although you really think you're at home, the reality is you're not at home. You must obey. Now, and when you fall, and you'll probably kill yourself, even if you still keep your delusion, and the ground and the door of the train will not turn into the door of your house. Now, I'm saying something. I'm getting the point. I'm getting the point. Now, Allah laid down laws, and many of us in the Muslim faith don't follow. The spiritual people, Christians don't follow. We obey man's laws. You're in the United Nations now trying to solve the world's problems. We go to presidents to try and solve the world problem. We don't take the whole Quran, the Bible, and say, what did God say on this? We try to solve them, and we are falling. There's more whores, more crime right in your city around the United Nations than in this country. You can't stop it. Right in Washington, there's more prostitutes, more crime in Washington than the capital anywhere in the world because man's laws can't solve it. Only when you start following Allah, God's laws, these problems will be solved. Now, all the reason you don't have no peace in the Middle East, I believe, is because neither side follow the laws of God. The people over there, I'm not saying nothing about who or where, but when they come to this country, they're no longer Muslims. They seem to forget the way they pray, the way they dress, and over there they're so straight and so righteous, and when they come here, those with money, you don't know who they are. And this is not just Muslims, but all people I see do this. So this is why we're suffering, because we don't follow God's laws, and the religious thing is not really taken seriously.
We have last two questions. Ragira.
I wanted to know, Mr. Ali, since you are presenting the painting to the United Nations and you're having this reception, what is the actual benefit for UNICEF or the children of the world? Of this world? I mean, is there a certain thing that you're aiming at, financial support?
I didn't quote you. Could just make that a little shorter.
What are you giving to the United Nations, you have a child, that would benefit UNICEF?
Thank you.
Well, I'm giving a painting, and I have an expert here. We have a message in my painting, and not only that, I'm having an office in the United Nations where I will come and I'll paint more pictures. We'll auction these pictures off. Yes.
Yeah,
Mr. Ali.
And I have an expert.
As you know, that President Carter, up till now, he failed in the bringing peace in the Middle East. How would you like to volunteer and mediate between the Israelis and the Arabs?
I'm not as dumb as I look.
We have now, I think we have...
If I had a lower IQ, I could enjoy that question. No, I was joking. That would be a big honor to try to make peace, but I don't think I can do that. And I don't think President Carter should be called a failure if he tried. I know, man, because that's a hard job to make a peace and something like that.
Correspondent from TASS asking for last 10 minutes.
According to the press, you are going to travel to the Soviet Union and to make for the first time in your life a film. Could you tell us what will it be about?
What was about?
This film, you are going to make a movie, according to the press, today's New York Times.
Freedom Month.
Can you tell?
The movie I'm making Freedom Road. It's about Howard Fast. Howard Fast had a great novel out called Freedom Road about the black people during the turn of the century, about 1850, when the first came in, slavery ended. This mythical character, which was the typical black rebel of that day, he could have existed, named Gideon Jackson. And he, after the Civil War, he came back to Carwell Singleton, his slave plantation, where they had a big white house and little shacks near it. And he educated his people, and he united the poor blacks and whites. Integration almost took off then. And that formed the Ku Klux Klan to break it up. He fought the Klan. He it represented justice for his people. And it's a 4-hour movie. I can't tell you too much about it because they want you to go see it. And it'll take place probably in probably 2 more months. It'll be on network television. Two night chapter, 2 hours each night. It's going to be a great movie, and I think it was real good. All the producers and directors liked it. And I might have a feel in acting if it's clean. Nothing, I couldn't take no part because of religion. Nothing, whether it's profanity, alcohol, sex. It's got to be something concerning history, something where when I die, Allah won't question me and ask me why did I do it and throw me in a hot fire. I have to be sure that everything that I do on earth is pleased to God, because we all going to die soon. We all know people dead in our families and relatives and friends, and the odds are 25, 30 years from now, many of us will be dead in this room. 60 years from now, we'll all probably be gone. So when you do die, it frightens me to think that there is a heaven and a hell, and somebody's writing and keeping track on whatever I do, and I might go to hell because of how I act and use my fame to make bad movies. So if I make movies, it's got to be right where I won't be ashamed for God or Allah to look at the movie itself. So I don't do no movies until they're right. So that's the future movies, to answer your question, might be very small, because we live in a world that we don't recognize righteousness. We live in a world that don't promote righteousness, and nothing that's clean really makes it in this country. It's got to be something dirty or some killing and some violence, and I won't be in that, so I might not be too big in movies.
Muslim and high religious man and belief as an artist and writer, I would like to ask you how you compare this with boxing. With boxing. Because religion is against boxing.
Right. Well, I tell you, a good question. You got me on the spot if I couldn't answer you. But I tell you what I say. You look intelligent. That's a good question. Why can I be a fighter when people can get hurt, can get killed? And I'm a religious man. I talk about peace, talk about love, but yet I fight. Okay. See, Allah knows, God knows. When we say Allah, you who are not Muslims, when we say Allah, we mean God. Allah knows my purpose. It's not the action that makes the thing right or wrong, but the purpose behind the action. I kill a man today, I kill a man tomorrow. Allah may say, you're right for killing this man, but wrong for killing that one. The judge and the law will say, you're right for this one, wrong. Why am I wrong for killing this man? Because we were arguing over an idea. He made me angry, I was jealous, and I killed him. Why did I kill the next man? Because I got to my house, my children were laying on the floor, throats were cut, my brother was shot, and the man was in the bed raping my wife. And I'm in my excitement, rage, and over my children being dead and my wife being raped, I kill him. I don't get a day in jail, and Allah cannot look at me as a bad man. All right. Both actions is killing, but what's the term? What's the purpose behind it? What is my purpose in boxing? My purpose in boxing is to come to meetings like this. We live in a world, my friend, where if you don't have no money, if you don't have no fame, no title, you're nothing in this society today. In the Arab world, I was over there, I saw people who wait on tables, and the most of them are the blacker people. And I was throughout the world, and I see how our black people are treated in every country. I don't care if he's Arab, Muslim, they talk about unity in all these countries, but I see black people in the mud. I see black people waiting tables, black people are servants, and the whiter ones, the more white they are, The more Americanized they are, the higher they are. This has been established throughout the world. Now, I use boxing because it's a platform. I don't fight a man because I want to hurt him. I pray to Allah every fight, don't let me hurt the man. Jerry Quarry, it's a fact. I hit him, and he was about to fall, and I pulled off, and I told the referee to stop it. Buster Mathis, James Ellis, I had him unconscious on the ropes, and I saw he could have had a hemorrhage, a brain concussion. Allah punished me for deliberately hurting somebody to please the crowd. My intention is not to hurt, not to kill. My intention is to get newspaper published. How had I been? Here's a little black boy from Louisville, Kentucky, sitting in the United Nations, talking to presidents of the world. Why? Because I'm a good boxer. I needed boxing to get here. So my purpose is to use boxing to get to people. So Allah will not punish me for that. I heard a story once, real quick and I'm finished, about a king who was mistreating people, and this holy man taught some men to be robbers. And then he taught the 40 robbers. And people said, the holy man has lost his head. He's teaching people to be robbers. Then the holy man taught 500 robbers. Then he taught 1,000 robbers. And there was a king at the time misusing people, prostituting people, soldiers robbed, tied, taxing people. And finally, one day, the old man says, well, now, look, we done robbed everybody. I got you all rich. I taught you to rob. Now let's go down and do something good. Let's go overthrow the king and establish righteousness. They overthrow the king because they loved what he said. They believed in him. He got the confidence, and they established righteousness. So the man wasn't wrong to teach people to rob, because why did he teach them to rob? He taught them to rob because he wanted to build up the confidence. He wanted to get an army. His major role was to overthrow that evil king and establish righteousness. So he was right in teaching people to rob because he wasn't wrong. So I'm trying to say my fighting is my ministry. My fighting is the why I'm so big. My fighting is why I'm the world's most recognized. All of you people here from your countries, I can take an airplane right now, go to your country, get off and take a walk, and you couldn't control the crowd. I'm the only man in the world going to do it because of my boxing. So I'm trying to say boxing was used as a platform to allow the world to know who I am so I can now do the work of God. So God knows I wasn't rid of boxing because I wanted to fight. He knows it wasn't for money. God, Allah, not you. See, you judge my actions, but God judges my heart. See, man judges man's actions, but God judges man's heart. And my heart is to do good and help and love people, preach peace, preach unity, but I got to have a Cadillac. I got to have a Rolls Royce. I got to have a home in Hollywood, because they don't listen to you in this country if you're nobody.
Last two questions, sir.
So that's why I box. That's why I box. So on those bases, God will not punish me, because he knows what I'm saying now is true.
Now, charming lady would like to ask.
My world organization, I was thinking the other day, I was out a few weeks ago. I'm always thinking, when I was a little boy, before I started boxing, I says, I got to do something different. All boxers are quiet and humble. I start talking, I am the greatest, I am the prettiest. This made people angry. They come and see me win and lose, and one thing led to another. And so I went to Brezhnev the other day, and I was over in Russia, and they said, Brezhnev want to see you. Antonio Dobrynin, UN, told me. Ambassador in Washington, Antonio Dobrynin to Russia. He said, every little boy, every little girl, everybody in Russia know Muhammad Ali. Old people, wherever you go, no American, they know nobody but Muhammad Ali. No World Series, no Kentucky Derby, no Indianapolis 500, no Super Bowl. They only know Muhammad Ali. In all of your countries, whether from Pakistan, Morocco, Arabia, India, they've seen. I said, I can't just go fishing, or I can't just make movies. I got to do something. I went to home of Seoul, Mr. Shabazz back there. We're in Seoul, Korea. We went to Seoul, Korea. We had 2 million people in the streets of Korea. We went to Hore Bomedian's funeral. President Carter's aide, Andy Young, called me and says, Ali, Muslims, only Muslims can go to a certain prayer service. We think you, almost American, can go in. I flew over there with Chip Carter and Blumenthal and Secretary Chair, and all of this stuff, and I'm sitting up here with MIV in the UN. I'm just a boxer. And the mayor of New York welcomed me, and people all in the streets looking. I said, what now? God's calling me for something. What am I going to do? I just can't just do nothing. So I said to him, I'm going to start me an organization called WORLD. It's WORLD, stand for World Organization for Rights, Living, Dignity. five letters. Each letter be black, brown, red, yellow, and white, representing all nations. And we'll do all we can to make peace between nations on a social level. No politics involved, no race involved, no religion involved, just all people trying to better. We set up office in the Rezhnev. Some authorities said they can give me a spot in the Russian Kremlin. We can get a spot in Bangladesh. We'll go by 60 different countries, and we'll talk and we'll translate and we'll try to better relationships. We'll go do documentaries on Brezhnev, documentaries on President. Like if you ask the ordinary man in this room, probably, or if you ask the ordinary American, who's the president of Nigeria, they don't know his name. Do you know who the president of Ghana is? Ghana. You don't. Big Africa, Ghana, you need world too. You don't know who President Ghana. Who's the new leader of Ethiopia? You don't know who the leader is. Do anybody here know? You from Ghana. Well, who's the new leader of Ethiopia?
That's Ethiopia.
Of Ethiopia?
That's Ethiopia.
You know because you're But the ordinary man don't know. So we're going to do all we can, but disaster chapters, raise money for people, whatever we can do, and I'm trying to get it started now.
Here's the last question. Uluk, last question. I'm sorry. No, we are not through. After that.
After the magazine, you have signed a new film. The name is Sword. Could you give us some information about it?
Sword. They want me to do a movie called Sword. It's some Arabian people. Sword was... Have anybody here heard of a great Islamic warrior named Anto? Great man, wasn't he? They want to make a movie of Anto, and they want me to play Anto. Here's a, what was he basically, a warrior? Huh?
He was a
champion. Anto, it's never been made. Do you think that would be a popular movie?
In 20 years back in Egypt.
Well, they want to make that's the who asked me that question? The movie. We'll have to check the script, my lawyers and managers. I'm like president, I have a staff of people that coach me on things. I wouldn't make the movie until it's all approved and all it's not okay yet. Financial arrangements. So much has got to be done. Where are we going to shoot? How many people want my script approval? Like, we don't know yet.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, Muhammad Ali would like to show you a poster given to him by the Secretary General, who called him today Ambassador of Peace. It's signed by the Secretary General.
Muhammad Ali's picture will hang in the building.
That I will tell you tomorrow at the briefing. I have to keep something for the briefing tomorrow.
Good job to him we had today.
He's Ambassador of Peace, Secretary General accepting. Bentinck said he's Ambassador of Peace.
Why don't you come to the briefing tomorrow?
Artist for Peace.
Yes, I told you. Brett, now you take him.
Have a discussion.
We've got something else.
In store.
This was from your last first.
Well,
no.
You will.